So let's go ahead and pray to get started. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I want to praise you in all that we do. And Father, I just thank you that, Lord, you lead us and guide us and our discernment, the truths, and that, Father, that our only intent is to do good in your name and to bring help to those that need it. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, that all that we do brings glory unto you and to your children. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well,
amen.
Yes. So to start with, before we start taking questions and all that kind of stuff, really want to address the situation with Uphold and XRP. The information is and has always been good with XRP and Uphold that the military was working with XRP and Uphold. And in doing so, they are following Trump's protocols of law and order. And in doing so, there has been some issues with some of their practices that have caused them to basically get themselves in some potential legal troubles. What's going to end up happening through that is lawsuits and legal battles. I think that those things are going to potentially cause assets to get frozen. And in doing so were some of the warnings that we were getting over the past week or so that Uphold may, that we needed to potentially get off Uphold. And it seems that those are coming true. Kelly, I think, read an article about it potentially today. And I believe Tim read something about it. Do y'all want to say what y'all had found out about it as well? Either Tim or Kelly.
Sure. We were given some notification that assets may be tied up in potential lawsuits. We didn't know what to make of it at the time, but it's best that if anyone has any XRP on Uphold, that they send that over to several different Zoom, Exum, Exodus, Nano Ledgers, get it off of there so it's not tied up or potentially, worst case scenario, be a potential clawback since this is an institutional stock and technically we were never supposed to have it in the first place. That would be the worst case scenario. So what we're doing is we're just basically trying to notify everyone. You can even put on to Lobster on the exchange.io if that is easier for you. I know there's, I'm a little hesitant of doing it that way, but do whatever method you can. People are even selling it and then rebuying it on a different platform and then immediately taking it off every other platform, which everyone should be doing also, and putting that into safe places. So none of the platforms are going to be safe when a hammer falls on the stock market. So if you guys are seeing the seized assets, most of them are up on those lists. So I would strongly advise everyone to take anything on any platform and get it off. That includes XLM, XDC, Algorand. It doesn't matter what it is, get it off. Okay? So it's just that simple. Better to be safe than sorry. But Uphold is having a class action lawsuit. That's a guarantee. We've already seen the paperwork. And we don't know what that's going to entail when assets on the non-custodial / custodial platforms. So you need to prepare and the offense instead of the defense. I guess is that simple. Kelly, you got anything to say?
Yeah, so Whip was saying the two safe wallets to transfer your XRP to are the Exodus and the Zoom. So those are what they call non-custodial wallets, which means that you have the keys, no one else. And those keys are very important. So when you do open up the wallets, their apps in your phone, and you have to also upload an authenticator when you open your account. It's like a two-step security process. And they're going to give you keys, which is a set of numbers. And it's very important. Don't take screenshots of it. Don't text it to yourself. Don't do anything where it's going to be online, because those are the keys to your money. So you just write it down maybe three times in three different pieces of paper and, you know, put it in three different places, because that is the only way to retrieve your funds in what they call non-custodial wallets, which means you own the keys only.
Yes, and so we'll post a little video I used today to use the Zoom. It was really simple. It took not very long to actually do, and to understand how it works, once I went through it, it was really simple, is that it's an app, but the app itself is just an app. The XRP is being held on the XRP ledger itself in the blockchain. So that's what those keys are for, to you to write down that is associated with your account. So it doesn't matter if that app is gone or whatever, maybe disappeared, your keys are what actually associate you to that XRP ledger for good. So it's really, really simple, and it's very detailed, and it only takes 5 minutes to actually do once you've actually done it. The video is very, very simple to follow. It's step by step, no missed parts of it, and it's very, very easy. So just to give you some, you know, really good understanding on it, I did a transfer of just enough to make sure that it went through the first time and that I did everything right. No problems with that. Once I finished doing that, then I actually went ahead and transferred all of it the very second time, and it went through just like it did the first time. So it was a very simple process. It's completely safe now. They can do whatever they want. It's all offline as far as that goes. It's actually offline only because I have the keys. It's online and I can use it whenever I wanted to, or sell it, because it's actually in the ledger already and I have access to it. I believe that's what's considered a hot wallet, and a cold wallet would be one that's in like a hard drive or something offline. It works through the same Nano ledger, through XRP ledger, where it records everything through the ledger. It just stores that information on an external drive, like a USB or anything like that. So it's separate in that aspect, but it's saving the technology on the ledger the same way on the XRP actual ledger. So that could never be sold or anything without it actually going through that ledger. So that's how it's actually kept all legal and understood that it is yours and nobody else's, period. And so that's probably the most biggest news right now, is to, we really, really need to, if you've got XRP out on Uphold, get it off as soon as possible. It is, like I said, it's very simple. Kelly is actually posting that information on the channel page right now, not the chat, but the channel page. And it will make it very, very simple for you to go through without having any kind of issues. So if anybody has any issues with those, you can either DM me or Kelly, which Kelly's probably better at the DM part of it than me. I'm really overwhelmed with my work and everything else. So it probably is easier if you actually get with her, but she's also a admin with QSI as well. And if she doesn't have the answers, well, she can get the answers from the people that she worked with there. So any kind of questions you have that we may not be able to answer, QSI and the QSI chat, which I think Kelly, you can go ahead and post that on there as well. And that will give people the ability to go in and ask questions. You can direct them specifically to the admins of the chat and allow the admins themselves to respond back to you and get the answers that you're looking for. Outside of that, what do you have any other kind of information as far as it goes, Tim? Because I have a few other things I would like to address.
Outside of that, get on Lobster and keep stacking.
That's really important that we all understand that the Stellar is actually part of the military operation and has been for a long time. They have been tight-lipped about it because that is a way that all of the funding is going to be taken care of through not only the RV, but also through the quantum financial system, through all of the funding from country to country, individual to individual, and being able to make all of these large payments and keep all of this ledgered to where it's completely accurate. There's no fudging to it. And it's all accountable. Every single penny of it is. So there's been some questions as far as like with the RV people that if they were to get, you know, this large amounts of money, that they need to get certificates and things that it's authenticity, that it's their money and they obtained it legally. When they get this money, it's going to come through the quantum system. And because it comes through the quantum system, it is already validated and has your identifying markers all over it, not anybody else's. So you do not need any certification. You don't need any certificates. That was all a lot of the old way of doing things with the fiat system and large banking transactions. Everything that's being done within the quantum system is all being done on a ledgered system that is being completely tracked so that it gives that authenticity, that there can be no corruption on it, there can be no criminal activity on it. You can't have like cartels with stacks of, you know, $100 bills on pallets go and try to turn those in for redemption to get them exchanged. They will not be able to exchange those for money. They will only be confiscated and then removed out of the system because they obtain those illegally. If you actually obtain that kind of money legally, then it would be easy for you to prove and it would be no problem for that to become a legal transaction for you to do. But in doing so, once that has actually happened, all of that money would never have to account for it ever again. So that's the beauty of the quantum system and the way the QFS operates is that you don't have to continually either worry about paying taxes on it or being manipulated out of it and all of those things because it is actually all being tallied and ledgered to a down to the penny on a fractional of a second type deal. Even your accounts within your Lobster account, if you watch your Lobster account, it'll constantly be changing as if you have a bunch of trust lines with assets. because those valuations of those actually change continuously. I see, I watch mine go up and down all over the place all day long, and it is constantly moving. But whenever you get so large sums of money for, say, the UBI or for your birth certificate or your taxes back, or even if it's for an RV and you're going into exchange currencies, even if you're exchanging currencies on tier 5 and not 4B, the internet group, it's still going into an account that is 100% yours. The bank has no access to it. They have no control over it. And you can do with it as you choose. That is the wonderful thing with this. And you can actually make transfers anywhere in the world, relatively simple, from individual to individual, and it takes only seconds to happen. So it's like whenever you go and buy these assets, even once you've actually purchased these assets, you get in, open up an asset, and you purchase it. It takes only seconds and it's done. And the money's transferred. The fees are very small. I mean, just like fractional amount of money. And it is a very easy, functionable tool that is going to be really awesome going down the road, because whether people realize it or not, Stellar is going to be coming into where they're working on a POS system right now where it's point of sale. So you will be able to use your Qualm device, go into a store, want to pick something out and buy. You will be able to use that just kind of the same way that you use Apple Pay right now, where you'll be able to use that and do a point of sale contact and purchase it directly off your device. And that's been being tested for some time now. I think Emily was talking about it yesterday. I think like at least 5 different companies have been testing it out for some time now. And there's probably more that's even involved with it. So it's going to be a very, very easy transition once we get through the protocols of protocol 19 and into protocol 20. Because once we go through protocol 19 and into 20, that's going to eliminate all of the scams, all of the tokens that are out there that are illegitimate, and it's going to clean it up to where it's just the actual legitimate assets that are backed up by an actual physical asset through a country, whether it be gold, whether it be silver, whether it be the most thing that they have in their country, maybe diamonds, and that may be one of the tokens that are used as their currency overall for their evaluation. They're all going to also have gold as well, because of XRP and the sharing of that XRP gold all around the world. So the institutional transfers from institution to institution, from country to country, will all go through XRP. So the value of XRP is going to be off the chain once it actually goes to where it's going to go to. So we've heard crazy amounts that it could go to. Nick and I were talking about some of them last night, and as much as potentially $100,000 a piece. So it's a great, incredible time to be alive right now, and just be joyful. Don't be anxious. Don't be upset. You're way ahead of the curve. Just remember that. We're trying to help people actually get into a position of even greater blessings than the individuals that have heard nothing about any of this, and they're not going to be left out. They're not going to be left out either. They will have opportunities, but their opportunities will come further down the road, and it won't be as significant of opportunities that are being presented to you guys right now. So whether you're in on the currency, or whether you're just in on purchasing some of the seized assets, or just purchasing XRP, it doesn't matter. You're all way ahead of the curve, and you're going to be blessed beyond your wildest expectations. So I just want to encourage everyone to know that this is coming, and there is pretty much nothing anybody can do to stop it. It's being controlled and ran as a military operation, and we're in a unique position to help people. You're in a unique position to help people as it happens, to be able to help people understand what's going on and how to kind of maneuver those waters. And the people that you have influence with could be your family, your friends, the people that you work with, and so on. And they could actually do the same. And it could be a rush of individuals that just one person started to help, and helps hundreds of people through the ripple effect of being able to be in contact with them, to help them, and to work with trying to show them, you know, kind of what's happening. Because Stellar is it, whether people want to know it or not. Lobster is a part of that as well, because it is a non-custodial wallet, which means you are the only one that has control over it. The banks hate that. That's why the banks are working so hard to try to hamper funding to those accounts. It is much easier to fund a custodial account, meaning that the institution has control over it and not you, and then you would have to remove it off their site by putting it into either a cold wallet or a hot wallet, like I did on mine today with XRP. So Nick, it looks like you've made it. It's great to see you. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing fine as far as all that's concerned. There is some things, though, that I would like to address. First of all, I've been involved with the RV and the GCR for over 30 years. So, and all the people that have been involved in this in Dinar Land, they've continually been lied to time and time and time and time again. And they've never actually been given the truth, because let's look at it this way. Admiral Bob Killigan in Reno, who's in charge of certain things in Reno, that's supposed to have been, that was going to be bringing the U.S. in as far as the new currency is concerned. Now, when he started by getting people to sign SKRs. And so then some people there in the very beginning turned all their currency over to the Treasury, supposedly the Treasury. Okay. They were given receipts for it. And then he was put in charge of it. And then when the Zim came on the place, he started a Zim group as well. Some people turned them in. Some people, anyway, they got SKRs, safekeeping receipts. People have been sitting on this for years. Okay. Killigan has people that went and got control of some of those SKRs and got them bonded through Lords of London so that they could be traded. And so they were trading that money, and they were CIA connected, and they're still working under him to this day. And they were CIA connected, they were trading this money, and they were using it for various things other than what they could legally use it for. So what happens in that case now that we're getting ready to move forward and have certain things done by the end of this month? So how do these people that have all these SKRs and a lot of the paperwork that they have is rather old now, and some of the people have died and everything else. So how, under this system, this new system with the QFS, how are these people going to get their money?
You know, that is a very good question, Nick. I have heard a couple of different things that how long ago did they actually start signing those SKRs, and were they actually being done before the Trump administration? I'm sure they probably were. And I would think, this was my personal opinion, I can ask some people and try to find out some answers to this, because it is very important. And I think that if they have receded those monies through a government entity, that I believe that the entities that are in charge to be at the moment would actually honor those and would bring those to full payment if they were to present all of the receipts that were given to them under that pretext. If you understand what I'm saying by that.
I know what you're saying, but the idea is still this, is that this money, this currency, the SKRs have the currency for as low as a penny, okay, and some are higher. And it was all saran wrapped. It was all done by the Treasury. And my understanding is it is still in Reno. Okay, but there was all this wealth sitting there that was the CIA decided that they wanted to use that money and that nobody would ever probably find out about it. But the only problem was they never put the proceeds back into whatever account it was supposed to go into. So now you have the group in Reno that's trying to say that they're moving forward on all this. And the problem is they can't move forward on it because my understanding is that several bankers in this whole thing have been arrested. And they're not going to do it.
Most of those have been arrested already.
Right. I understand that. But we're talking about people that are in Dinar land, and there are a lot of them who don't know what's going on. They're being told by some people that it's going to go Tuesday or Monday or Wednesday. Wednesday's the following week.
That's if they haven't been contacted directly by the redemptions, they have not been contacted, and they should not even listen to that.
All right. Because
until it actually goes, you as being an appointee will know when those appointments start. We all know that they have already started with about 2 weeks ago with doing the validation of the internet lists and making sure that they had correct phone numbers, correct email addresses, so that when they actually started to make appointments, that was all valid information from people maybe have moved or somebody died. They might have to use the next of kin now. All that information was being validated over the last two, almost 3 weeks now.
All right. Now, when I was told, personally told, that there were going to be what were called SafeLink websites, okay? And these SafeLink websites were going to be how people were notified, whether through mail or whatever. They were going to be provided to intel providers that would put the number on their websites that they could call to set in a, what they would go through a question type thing, much like if you're setting up a new bank account where you got to answer certain questions that come out of public domain. They weren't going to ask you anything other than what year were you married? Maybe, you know, those guys, do you know what your ex-wife's last name is? Just stuff that's a matter of public record. And then they would be directed to an 800 number that they in turn would call. And the only thing that they would be asked would be if they had currency and ZIM. That's it. And if they had that, they were going to be directed to a redemption center where they would go into that redemption center. They would fill out the Know Your Customer form, and they would have another questionnaire which would show, you know, where they would show their ID and stuff like that and two forms of identification. Then they would then be able to meet with a person there that would sit across from them with a desk. They would take their currency, and then they would take it over to a De La Rue machine or have the De La Rue machine right there where they could count all the currency. All right. And then whatever the rates were, they would be told, this is what you're going to get. Okay. Now, the only problem, the only thing that was different than that was that if people had like the dinar where it's under a contract rate and the dong under a contract rate, there are a couple countries that are under contract rates where that could be as high as $28. And then they were told that, and then that money would go into an account that would be onto the Quantum system. It would be their own personal account there. And then if they had ZIM, then they were going to be offered a flat deal, you know, if they wanted to walk in, walk away, they would just be offered, say, $30 million for all their ZIM to walk away. And then if they had projects that they wanted to do, then they would be, a couple days later, they would meet with a wealth management team, and then they would turn over their bullet points or their summary of what it was that they're going to do with their humanitarian projects. And then based upon that humanitarian project on a sliding scale from 0 to 100 would determine how much that they were going to get to do their project. And then the rest of the money would go into a holding account where they would be able to get monthly payments or quarterly payments or semi-annually payments or annual payments. So are they still looking at that? What's a person going to do when they go into if there's going to be a redemption center or an exchange center? How are they going to be directed?
So from my understanding, the direction that they will get, depending on whether what actual currencies that they will actually have, they will either be directed straight into the quantum system, and in doing so will be introduced into their quantum account. Their quantum account is set up at the Redemption Center, at a lot of the banks already, and it's tied into your actual bank accounts that you already have right now. So that the day that those actually switch over to the quantum, those accounts that you have funded right now will automatically transfer into those quantum accounts. So if you have, say, $30 million or $40 million in what you're receiving in payments for your currency that has nothing to do with exchange, I mean, with nothing to do with humanitarian projects, then those will actually be entered into the quantum system. You will have access to that quantum system. You will be entered into, which is considered stellar, because that is how all of this operates. It operates through the XRP and institutional exchanges. So you will actually be able to get right then, if you do not have a non-custodial wallet, most likely will be Lobster inside that Redemption Center, because those are the ones that are actually the ones that are actually working with Stellar and have been working with Stellar. The banking institutions themselves have actually been making all of the difficulties in with MoonPay, with the non-payment and denying your funding. Every time I go in and try to actually do funding, it denies it. I have to call the bank after it gets denied. And once they get on there, they actually direct me into customer service. I talk with customer service. I say, hey, this is me. I'm trying to make this payment. I want to make this go through. Then they have to actually go in and do a one-time authorization of that, because what it does is it actually does a cash withdrawal. It withdraws cash, and then it takes the cash and it actually funds something in cash immediately. So Visa flags it automatically. So if you have a Visa debit card or you have a Visa bank card, they're all in cahoots with knowing that this is the death of the banking system, and they are trying to do everything that they can to delay it. They know it is the inevitable, but they are doing what they can to delay it. So if you're going in and you have a humanitarian project, then you will bring that humanitarian project in with you when you go in. You will turn it in. You will actually be issued your initial payment for whatever your redemption is into your quantum account. The humanitarian account will automatically be set up through Stellar as well, because that is the way that you will get funding from the account into the humanitarian project, because every penny is ledgered, every penny is accounted for, and nobody can do anything other than what is specific with those monies, like no money laundering, no pulling a couple hundred thousand dollars out because you need something that you needed something different. So no hanky panky can be done. And so my understanding is that those individuals are the first to get their quantum devices. They have been making these quantum devices in three different countries for 2 years. Well, not quite 2 years, about a year and a half. And they have been rolling them out. And so the people that are involved with the humanitarian projects will get their Quantum devices first and all of their accounts ledgered and set up to begin with. And that is how it's going to go.
Okay, let's kind of look at it this way, maybe make it a little bit simpler. First, are there going to be what I've been told as SafeLink websites that will be able to connect everybody to a center so that they can set their appointment to go in?
Yes. Okay. I don't know if it's exactly that way, but it will. And when they make their appointment, that appointment will be at a redemption center that is actually closest or within 50 miles of their actual home.
Okay. Now, when they get in there, are they going to have to be able to show their two forms of identification? Are they going to, you know, the typical thing that you would do if you open a bank account like that. But the thing that I'm curious about, and since
only you would only have to do that if you don't already have an account, because those already that have bank accounts and banking information, all of that information is already into the quantum computer before you get there.
But the thing is, when they sit down across the desk from the agent or whatever you want to call him that's going to be sitting there and directing these people, is he going to be, you know, what would ordinarily, how is he going to be patient enough with an old couple that are,
yes, they are,
and have a very hard time understanding how they're going to get their money? Because
yes, they are.
Because, you know, younger people catch on to it quickly, older people catch on to it slower. And the idea is that, okay, I mean, let me change this up. On Stellar or Indus, we see that there are countries that are connected to this. And right now on the list that I got, there was 38, and I was told there was 105, and there's probably more than that now. And when I asked the government about it, they turned around and told me that they're vetting these countries because they have to get their, they have to be ISO 2022 compliant as well on their assets, backing their currency and all this other stuff. So if they're going, if these same, let's take Vietnam for instance. So if Vietnam doesn't show up yet, but it will. So a couple goes in and maybe they've only got a million dong, okay, worth. And wouldn't it be easier to kind of explain that, okay, they're taking this money, this $1 million here on a one-to-one basis for right now, to make it simple, the one-to-one basis is that they're deducting $1 million from their account to put into your account.
That is correct. That is how that would work.
Okay.
Because that money is already funded into that country's allotment for all of their country's funding.
Now, is it a one-to-one, or if the dong on a contract rate was $6? Are there going to be contract rates applied, or are they not, or is it just going to be a parity of one-to-one?
So the contract rates are going to be applied, Those contract rates are not the same rates, as you know, that are in-country rates. In-country rates are going to be different, but your contractual rates will be much higher. And probably won't know exactly what those are until they show up at the redemption center. And I know a lot of people have asked about, well, you know, you can ask for more and you can try to get, no, it's set already. When they go into the bank, they will actually, like I said, we've talked about this before, the military has had all of this, and when it's hashed out, these numbers are fixed across the board. You'll get the same thing that everybody else will get, and it's like there won't be any bartering. Bartering will be out of the question.
All right, so now let's go to the ZIM, where the ZIM is $100 trillion ZIM. Is that the Chinese, who are the ones that got the contract on the ZIM? The U.S. Treasury lists the ZIM at 1-to-1. So that means that $100 trillion ZIM is $100 trillion. Now, a lot of people in Dinar land have been told a lot of different stories about this. So are they going to be able to, if they got a $100 trillion note there, because it's a bond as well as money, are they going to be able to get the face value, or is it going to be a reduced value?
It's going to be a reduced value. Because the actual, that was never actually supposed to ever be money. And they decided that they were going to actually liquidate that and make it into money.
Well,
and it's going to be a reduced amount.
Okay, well, the Chinese are the one that bought it. And
yes,
there was a meeting that took place a couple of years ago now between the military, the Chinese, and the Treasury. And this happened during the Trump administration, and it was agreed that it would be 1-to-1. So, because I've got the contract that right. said that. So then we have the Bolivar, okay, who they have their Bolivar, especially the new ones, the new Bolivar, the 2020, 2021, anything over 19.
Yeah, I know about those.
Okay. There are two different rates, 1918, and then there is anything under 1918 is one. Anything over 1918 is considered VES. And the current rate on the VES, though it's unofficial, is $4 and something. Now, the new ones, the digital money, which was 2021, one of the digital bills is worth $1 quadrillion. So how, and then the 1 million is worth $100 trillion. So how are they going to handle that?
So from my understanding is it will be based off of a ratio of evaluation of what their value of what it should be, and not what is on those printed to be.
Yeah,
because
well,
they were printed out. They were printed out as in defaced value of that it had to be this much or you couldn't get anything, right? So they're going to bring that back into a large valuation, but in a valuation of that, it is more realistic to comparable pricing that it should have been.
Well, it's considered to be inflation money, much as the as much as the ZIM is inflation money. Okay.
Yeah.
But they're saying right now that the value of the VES is right around a little over $4. And so, and
I don't know if they're going to take that at face value or if they're going to take it at, say, you know, 30% or 20% of face value at $4. And that's still more money than they would ever spend in 50 lifetimes.
Well, that's not the point. The point is
evaluate all of this money, and all this money right. has to be revalued into a realistic manner because of leveling the playing field across the board with every country. That's what's important with what's going on here. And the people that are getting their finances through these currencies are a part of redeeming that currency off the market so that it can be eliminated and that money can be put out into circulation for humanitarian purposes.
All right. Now as once you're dealing with XRP or any of these, you still got fees that have got to be paid. So if a person turns around and takes the dinar that may be at right now it's supposed to be coming off at a little over $3, and then the contract rate on it can be up to $28 if they choose to take the contract rates. Now is there going to be there will be an in-country rate, but is there going to be an international rate?
I don't know that particularly. I know that the contracts where they were initially assigned were going to be valid, but I do not know about an international rate. I've heard nothing about that. What you were talking about on the fees. So the fees, say it's like 375. Okay, just putting it as a number, okay? And that's the redemption. That's your part with no fees. The fees are going to be on the other side, meaning that when they did the exchange, it may have been $4.30 or $4.50, and all fees are going to be on the other side of the redemption price that is going to be issued to everyone within that class.
Okay, I bought... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I turned around and let's say I went up to Lobster today and I bought $30 worth of whatever Stellar was putting out there for lumens. And yes. they charged me $3.45. They added it onto there to transfer $30 worth of lumens. Okay, into my Lobster wallet. And Lobster needs to do something about getting rid of MoonPay because MoonPay does not have a very good name at all. And because it's been known to say they sent money when they really didn't. But in neither here nor there, but at the moment. So anyway, and I still had to pay a transfer fee from because of the fact that when it went across the wire is crypto. So there is a fee that is paid for that. So, and it comes off of if you put $37 there, which is what it mounts up to, then they deduct money from that $37 from the back end, okay, in order to get it from point A to point B. So, if they're going to be, so when a person transfers his currency, he gets his currency, the money from his currency, and the amount of money is determined from when you transfer the money into your wallet, then the wire fees are automatically deducted. Okay. So, which could be higher than what.
Yeah, but I don't think that that's going to happen on the initial funding because there is not supposed to be any fees that are allotted to the actual price.
Well, there's no fees, no
cap. I could be wrong, but I do, from my understanding on initial funding, there should not be fees on the deduction side of where, say, $375 of whatever you got or $4, then it is what it is. That is actually going to be direct asset into that account. Now, if you move it, then yeah, you're gonna pay a transfer of whatever you're buying or selling after that point, but not the initial funding. Okay.
All right. Now, are they going to, or because whether anybody realizes this or not, because of the amount of money that's coming in that they're going to have, are they still going to be? Are they still going to be needing lawyers? Are there going to be trusts that are going to have to be available? Are you going to have were they going to be offered a wealth management team to help them manage their money? Because a lot of people don't know what $100 million looks like, let alone $1 trillion. So in order to help them learn to manage their money.
Yes. And so, yes, there will be. And there are vetted people. There are vetted lists that will be associated with all this, because all of the attorneys are basically under the Bar Association. The Bar Association will be going away. It is actually under Crown law, and we're going under constitutional common law. And until lawyers and judges actually get re-educated in these fields, they will not be allowed to practice, period. This was one of the reasons that Trump actually instituted over 300 constitutional actual judges, so that he could have a rule of law during this process. I've actually had spoken to a couple of attorneys that work for me, and they were they couldn't tell me anything on what they were doing or why they were disappearing at times. They know what I do. They know what I've been involved in. They have been following and watching those things in which I'm involved in as well. And I have tried to ask them without revealing any confidentiality or non-disclosure by simply saying, either do not respond, do not say anything. I'm just going to talk to you and I'm just going to tell you what I think about stuff. And in doing so, they have had some further education. They've all had to. A lot of these times when the courts were shut down, they were actually having to do some further education, or they would not be able to do any kind of legal aspects once this actually happens. All contracts are going to be null and void as soon as we go into the quantum. As soon as this gets released that we are back under the Republic, you are a sovereign individual. And there will not be attorneys in the aspect that we have attorneys now, where you have to go and have a closing on a house that is a 30-page closing. No, it's about signing a deed to a piece of property, and that property is now yours. Insurance companies are going to become extinct because they are basically nothing more than theft by force on a lot of cases where you have to have it or it's against the law. It's about changing the perspective, because most people are going to have a totally different financial realm that they live in, that they're not living hand to mouth, everyone, because you're going to have UBIs and other things that are going to come into play for people that are just at the lowest end of the spectrum are going to be blessed probably as much financially where they're at right now as people that are really doing well today. So the perspective is that everybody's going to be in a very good situation financially in the near future. And the law in which we see it today is going to be, have to be relearned by even every citizen, because we have to understand what common law actually means, and that it's all based around do no harm. And all of these corporate codes and corporate laws and stuff within the city, they're all unconstitutional. Every one of them are unconstitutional. They're all about funding through policing for the corporation. Driver's license are illegal. It's not constitutional. You cannot be, I can't remember the words right now. You can't be restricted in your travel. And to have a driver's license means that you are being restricted in your travels. And so everything that we perceive as the way things are today is going to change rather quickly once this all actually happens. So my understanding that when we go into Protocol 19, 20 will be relatively soon behind it. And going into Protocol 20 is actually entering into the full quantum matrix, free energy, all of the free Tesla technologies, and so on and so forth.
Okay, let me, you know, I worked as a legal professional at one point, and the thing is, if your driver's license is, it falls under what's called implied consent. The same as when you do 1040 forms or 10 whatever for the insurance, when you sign that, you've given the government control to come in and audit your taxes and everything else, because you've given them implied consent. If you don't, you know, income tax is still voluntary, and you don't have to do that. But anyway, it's called implied consent. So yeah,
you entered into something that you weren't even understanding. So that's how they operate, or have operated. That will go.
Well, yeah, you don't need a license to drive down the street. The commercial code deals with people that are taxi cab drivers, truck drivers, stuff like that. The commercial code doesn't cover private citizens. And the reason why they changed the law here a few years ago from where you had to have mandatory insurance. And that's what it said in the law, mandatory in all 50 states. I'm the person that got that changed to where they had, where the states changed it to where you had to show proof of, you know, not proof of insurance, but proof that you were able, if you got in a wreck, to take care of the wreck, you know, basically. They all changed their laws on the same day, and I'm the one that got the injunction that stopped them from using mandatory insurance. So, but anyway, the thing winds up being is this, is that if you're going, you know, what about businesses? You know, there are, you know, people are going to have businesses. Can they have a business account on there as far as the quantum system is concerned that's different than their personal account?
Yes.
So they can have two separate accounts on the quantum system. Okay. Yes. So now we get to
tied through the same individual.
Right.
But there would be two funded accounts. Just like your humanitarian account would be a different account than your personal account, but it's still paid through you.
Right. Okay. Now on the humanitarian accounts that were supposed to be done by the Zim. Therefore, a while they were talking about 80-20. And then they stopped talking about it being 80-20, and they put it into a sliding scale. Okay, depending on the on your project. And also, if you didn't have a project, you could go into one of the UN projects that would benefit people, or they would have a list of different projects that a person could take part in if they so choose. So under this system, this quantum system, how does the humanitarian percentages work?
They haven't said. Nobody.
They haven't said.
No.
Yeah. You won't know until you get there, right?
You're not going to find out till you get there, but it is will be the exact same across the board with everyone. So whatever they tell you will be the exact same thing that they tell somebody else. It will be the same amount.
All right. Okay, well, that's good. So is a person that has currency, they may have 10 different currencies when they go into exchange and redeem. So is it all going to go into one account, or is it going to go into a multi-account?
From my understanding, it will go into a single account unless there is some kind of humanitarian that's associated with any one of those currencies.
Is there going to be a limit set at what point that a person, in other words, if a person got $100 million, is he going to be required to put his funds into a humanitarian project?
I've heard that there is a limit, but I don't know if they're actually going to do that or not.
Okay. That's about all the, you know, the thing is that we've heard, you know, I've heard that the countries that are involved in the RV, which are all of them,
that's correct.
All they have to be done. All have to be done by the end of this month.
I don't know that to be 100% true, that it will all have to be done by the end of the month, because they may not all go at the exact same time, meaning all the countries entering into the actual RV at the same exact time. There has been a possibility, which I believe is going to be very high, that it's going to be country by country as they go into it over a period of time until they're all into it, but all will go into it.
Well, I understand that they're still having some problems with the Rothschild bank people that are in some of these countries that they own the banks, and the big thing is this, is that, and this the military had told me. So they said that this part of ISO 2022 has to be done by the end of this month, so they can go ahead and release it. So, and that's what I'm being told.
That part of it is, I believe, a fixed time period for the implementation of the ISO 222 to be compliant. And be shortly at that point, all of those countries or all of those exchanges will start hitting under Protocol 19, which will eliminate those as well as identify all of the fraud and all of the fraud schemes that were out there, because a lot of this during Protocol 18 was a setup to get the like the Nigerian scam fraud organization's opportunity in a decentralized Wild Wild West to basically be operating in the quantum system without realizing it and giving them the rope to hang themselves.
Yeah, well, there's still plenty of Nigerian stuff on Telegram going on.
No, I get it, but this is all part of what's, you know, taking place, though.
Right. Well, the only thing I'm saying is what I was told, the countries that are taking part in the RV, because not all countries are taking part. There is a GCR that all countries will have part of, you know, but I was told that the countries that are going to be reevaluating their currencies and going up have to already be done by the end of this month. So, because they're getting, even the military is getting tired of all this garbage. So, and that's exactly what I was told. And I talked with them today and it hasn't changed. So,
I would agree with that.
You know, and that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that ISO 20022 will be completed by the end of the year. So
yeah, it'll be done. Like Basel 3 will be done by the end of the year, completed.
Yeah,
and the banks won't even be. Majority of the small banks will not even be able to comply with that, and have to be consumed into the treasury.
Right, and the other thing is that I'm also being told that within 5 years, most of your banking centers will be closed. The only thing that will be open will be a bank similar to Capital One in the way that they're structured. In other words, they'll be a bank, but it'll be a lot more casual. It's not going to
be like a financial institution, and that's it.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be like Bank of America or Chase.
It's going to be
more set up like Capital One, where it's like walking into a coffee shop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be like if the few they have left are going to be basically like a cafe type situation, like you say, but there'll also be a means of being able to do exchanges, be able to find out things about different exchanges that are out there, and getting into different types of projects and humanitarian projects that are still existing, being able to apply into new humanitarian projects that are not actually going, that have come into basically a new idea because of the way society has developed into. So all of that kind of will be like one house of being able to just kind of express the financial direction of where we are at that time.
Okay, are you ready to open this thing up for questions?
Yes, absolutely.
Let's do it, because I've got only about 30 more minutes I can do.
That would be great. I don't have a whole lot of time either. I've got to be up really early in the morning. So, Kelly, if you'd like to start opening up for questions, then we're good.
Okay, Gita May. Gita May, you're unmuted. Gita May.
Hi, thank you very much, everyone. My most humble respects to TW, Nick, Captain, and so many others here. Really feel honored, and thank you so much for your time and knowledge. Is there any way you can make short videos of how to open up these wallets? Because as you know, it's already a lot of stress for the people who don't use the computers too much. I really appreciate if you can make short videos available, because just simply hearing is not enough. Again, I thank you so much for everything you do.
There are actual videos. If you go to Kelly, what is the QSI videos that they put on YouTube, and they're putting them on YouTube? Can you post that onto my page so that that people can actually go there. And they're simple videos and they're instructional videos on doing specific things with Stellar and with the wallets and those things where you can watch it over and over again until you understand it while you're doing it.
And there's also a website with a resource center for new people with step-by-step instructions. So I'll share that as well.
Thank you all very much.
You're welcome. Okay, be still. Be still, you're unmuted. Be still.
Thanks, Kelly. For those people who don't want to fund their lobster with a bank account or can't use PayPal or don't want to use a credit card through MoonPay, there is a kiosk called CoinFlip. And if you go to coinflip.tech, they have a video. And you basically take your phone and you pull up your lobster address and you put it right up next to the window with this coin flip machine, which will take up to $900, and it will directly fund your lobster account with cash. Hope that helps.
That's awesome.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you for that.
Anybody that has, you know, good information like that, that has actually used it, this is good tools for people to use because the banking institutions are doing everything they can to make this as difficult as possible on people. And they're doing it on purpose with denying credit cards and denying your bank card and denying PayPal or funding through whatever. They are doing this on purpose because it is the death of them and they know it. So anything that helps people be able to fund their accounts or to get accounts open and active that gets around the damn banking system, please share that information. Put it on our DM, send it to Kelly, and we will share it with everybody. Thank you.
Okay, next up is White Bear. White Bear, you're unmuted.
Hi, thanks, Kelly. I have a question about my lobster wallet. I have like a long list of things. You know, all I did was buy some XLM, and then after our discussion the other day, I bought a little bit of AnClap. But there's a whole list of things. I keep getting notices that all these different coins or tokens are pending. They're things that I didn't order, but they're all sitting there just. Like every day something new comes in and I just
those are airdrops. So you want to actually convert those. So when you go into the pending, you can say convert those and then it'll take you to another page where it says convert all to Aqueous. And Aqueous is a stable coin that will be able to be used to purchase like the XLM or anything else once you build up enough of those. And so when you get all of those little pending things, a lot of them are scam stuff and everything else. And those will actually convert into something that is real, which is Aqueous. And when you put that in Aqueous, that Aqueous account will build up. And then you can actually use that Aqueous account to purchase some XLM or some, you know, gold index or sun gold or something else as that account builds up by using all of that nefarious transactions, because some of it is actual good, but some of it is scam stuff, and you don't want to just leave it there because it clutters up your trust lines. And just convert it. I convert mine every day into Aqueous.
Okay, so even if it is scam stuff, because there's always the warning from Lobster about it, but you know, we don't back this or we don't know anything about this, I should just take it anyway. It's not going to do anything to my account, or they can't get into my personal information.
That is correct. When you convert it over to Aqueous, it converts it and then it eliminates it off your trust line.
Okay. And the same thing on the Uphold. I got all of a sudden somebody downloaded some Solo. into my Uphold account, and I don't know what that is either.
All right, trade that for XRP and then get it off Uphold.
Oh, that was
free XRP when you trade it off.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, White Bear. Thank you, honey. Semper and Sensa. Semper, you're up.
Good evening, guys, and thank you again for your time and your knowledge and wisdom and your it's very, very evident that your heart is in it to help people. So thank you. My question is about annuities. My aunt, who I'm trying to bring over to this, is interested, but she's got so much on her bank accounts. And the other question was, on top of that, is if when the event happens, if stuff is in bank accounts, is it good to go? Like her 401k annuities and all of that stuff, will that be
automatically transferred? No, it won't be wiped. It will appear to be wiped in the old system, but it will actually be transferred into the quantum, and her 401ks and all of her actual savings in that aspect will actually transfer over into quantum accounts.
Okay, good, because she about had a panic attack when I was bringing this up to her, and I didn't have the full answer, so that's very helpful. And one other quick question.
Really, the only place that people really have any kind of real threat with the money's not converting is if you are like a day trader or a trader that you're trading your own money in the stock market. Okay. That is a risk asset, and the stock market is and has been being told for over a year from all of the mainstream media, even that the stock market is going to course correct because it is 50% overvalued.
Right.
And so people are going to lose that money that is in there. They need to get it out of the stock market. That's
okay.
It. Not your 401ks though. They're, even though they're tied to the stock market, they're not going to lose that ledger because that money is going to be safe because it is has been being manipulated for the cabal and not actually for the savings of the individuals.
Mm. Okay. If we're in Dinar Detectives or have been and gotten 15 emails a day and are looking for the 800 number, is it going to be evident or is it hidden in some of the 20 some odd different blogs in it? For the
I would think it would be evident, but I would check every one of them just to make sure that it didn't slip through, just to be safe. I would think it would be, you know, safe as far as, you know, like more evident that it's, you know, your contact information to get, you know, in touch with you and not just a regular Dinar request, you know, email type deal. But I don't know that to be true. Do you know anything else, Nick?
And when do we stop looking for that 800 number? When is 5A
wrong?
In other words, when is 4B over and 5A and 5A?
No, what you're doing is that they're supposed to be sending it their SafeLink, what they're going to call SafeLink websites. The SafeLink website, if you have currency, you will be sent. There are several places actually to sign up for where you can get the number. The notification will be sent to you. Then you're going to call that number and they're going to ask you questions. They're about, you know, public knowledge questions about you. And then you answer it. That tells them who they're dealing with. You're going to be given the actual 800 number to set your appointment at one of the exchange or redemption centers.
What are the websites to sign up for?
Huh?
Where are the places we go to sign up for that notification?
You can go. I'll be putting it out because I'm one that's going to be getting one. So you can go up to my YouTube site. You can go up to my website. We'll be posting it in Telegram.
Could you post that information? Could you DM me that information, like your website and all that stuff, that people can actually go to and get how to register information so that I could post that out? We could get that posted out to help people it's just, get into that.
Well, it's just nixintelblog.com. That's it. Nix, okay. N-I-C-K-S, Intel, blog, one word, .com.
Okay.
Fair enough. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next up is Eric Welsh. Eric Welsh, you're unmuted. Eric Welsh. Okay, we'll move on to the next person.
Can you hear me? All right, come on now. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Earlier it was mentioned, I've heard this for years and I didn't know what it meant in regards to a contract rate for like Vietnamese dong or something like that. What is a contract rate? What's the purpose for it? Why does person A get one for one and one gets $28, you know, like, why wouldn't you want to be on the contract rate? Because you said if you choose to, and how do you choose to do that?
So the contract rate is based on the country, and it's based off of like, there's a oil contracts and things of that nature. So the in-country is based off of people that actually live in that country, like say that live in Iraq or live in Vietnam. And the people, like say here in America, have a contractor rate with that money exchange based off of different contracts that were tied to those monies through the petrodollar. And it's
actually it was Bush.
Yeah.
Bush put the order 1330, I think it was, and they turned around and said that the people that went against Kuwait and all Iraq and all that time during the war, that allowed us to buy the Iraqi dinar, and that it would, based upon the price of the barrel of oil, then it could go up in value. And if it went up in value, that became what was called the contract rate. So there would be a rate, two different rates. There would be the in-country rate, which has nothing to do with us, but there would be an international rate that would have something to do with us. And then the contract rate was involved Iraq, involved Vietnam, almost any oil-producing country around the Middle East there. So, and they've said that the contract rate can go as high as $50, you know, on that. And it's not available to other countries, and only to those countries that supported with the United States, Iraq. And so, and then with Iran being there as well, if the rate goes up to $28, let's say, Iran will be right around $28. So there are some people that won't want, like the general public won't get the contract rate. It's only those people that are in 4B that get the contract rate. The 4B is the internet group. So not everybody gets it.
So how does someone get on Tier 4B?
Well, do you have dinar?
I have VND and dinar.
Okay, you're already in the internet group. So all you got to do when you go in to the redemption center or exchange is tell them you want the contract rate. If you don't tell them you want the contract rate, you're going to get the international rate.
So I'm on it because why? Because they know I bought it online somewhere or it's tracked somehow?
The internet, there's more currency held by the internet group, which you're part of already. Okay. You don't have to do anything but go to your exchange and tell them that you want the contract rate. And they will give you the contract rate. If you don't ask for it, you don't get it. The only people that do not have currency, like the general public, will not get it. They'll just get the international rate.
So for my dong that I just got through my bank, same thing. I can qualify for a different rate if I ask for it?
Yes. Once you go in to the exchange center or redemption center, because they could both be one and the same, you sit down and they're going to count your currency and you're going to tell them, I would like to have the contract rates. And they'll give them to you. If you don't ask, you don't get.
It always seemed a little bit elementary to me to be like, well, if you know the magic password, you get $100 million more dollars. But if you don't, too bad for you.
Basically.
So the only other part of that was just registering as a part of a group. And that's the only difference.
You don't register. The internet, the internet 4B is individuals, just like you, just like me. Okay. And if you don't ask for the rate, you're not going to get it. So just remember, ask. It never hurts to ask because you'll wind up with more money than what you thought. The only people that will not get it, and you will be, if you take the contract rate, you will sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, not telling anybody what you got as far as any kind of a rate is concerned. Because if you do, they're going to claw that money back from you.
Back to the public's rate.
And you will lose.
So the receipt of money is going to be in a digital wallet, on a Lobster wallet or some form of Stellar wallet, but is it going to be in the form of a US dollar, a US treasury note, or is it, you know, is that like each country, each person from each country that will get this, they're going to get it in their own sovereign digital currency on a Stellar blockchain?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the way it's planned right now. But if you go to an ATM machine, you're going to get USN.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Next up is, let's see, Riptide. Riptide, you're unmuted. Riptide.
Yes, I had a question about the Trump projects. Are those still, as far as you know, still a part of this whole redemption and the whole humanity screen project? And if so, are the rates, I'm assuming the rate's going to be lower on the Trump projects, and if you have a project of your own, just want to know what you might know about that.
Well, if the Trump projects are part of the humanitarian part, but if you want to take your currency and you want to put it into a humanitarian project, they have a list of projects that you're going to be given. And some will be what you want to call the Trump projects. Some are going to be projects in other parts of the world as well. So, you know,
and you can either donate to them your actual currency that you get for human, and you can allot amounts for. If it's not an actual humanitarian, you can actually do donations for the humanitarian projects, and you can say what they are. Or you can actually want to actually get involved and work with them and donate your money. So there's going to be a lot of different opportunities that come once this actually takes place. And the doors will they will all be opened, and it will be very easy for people to get involved.
Let me ask you this. This is, I'm not going from a greedy situation here. I'm just asking for curiosity because it doesn't seem I'm going to be able to get a straight answer. Is it different for if you donate, if you don't have a project of your own and you're going to donate to the Trump Project, is the rate, the contract rate going to be cheap, less than if you had your own project?
It didn't have anything to do with that. Your contract rate is whether or not you're part of Tier 4B on exchanging your currency. That's all that means. And Tier 5 is the general public. That is a different price. It is a much lower price than the Tier 4B. That is the contractual price. So it has nothing to do with the humanitarian projects or anything else. The humanitarian projects come off of specific currencies that are already tied to part of it being allotted to humanitarian projects.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sue. Thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for you guys for having this tonight. It's really appreciated by a lot of people.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. Next up is, just trying to find him. Okay, Rob. Rob, you're unmuted.
I'm sorry, did you say Rob?
Yes, Rob. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Hi, Nick and Captain Kyle. Thank you for the show tonight. Just real quick, if you have projects for the Zim and people are donating to your project, obviously there's a chance that some of those people could get to their appointment before you do. So I guess they'll keep track of that. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is how long will it be before, because then there's going to be some people in our group that go after me, and I'm kind of the leader of one of the projects. Do you see what I'm going with that? How will we know?
So okay. My understanding is if it's a type of where you are all part of a group and you are all within, say, a type of humanitarian project, that will be discussed when you go into the humanitarian appointment. They will ask those questions. Well, we have other people that are involved in it. They will be having other appointments as well. This person is a part of, that's actually probably the team lead. You should be on their humanitarian project paperwork so that it all actually comes together like that. So there's going
to give them overlap
of different kinds of projects, right? Because there's going to be a lot of them that overlap with the things that are very similar, almost the same, and things of that nature. But it may not be in your specific areas, and that those are what's needed in your area, your town, your communities. That's what's important.
Okay. So as long as they go in with my name and the name of our project, it'll all be lumped together at some point.
Most likely it should be, because that's going to be a part of the paperwork that gets reviewed. So if you are doing something that is a kind of a group type humanitarian project that you're all working on, then yes, it needs to be all put together as a group individual. And it can be funded that way as well.
Great. Thank you. One other question. I had the Zim and Dong and Dinar for a while, but I just recently got into the Bolivar. But I don't understand. I've heard taking off zeros, adding zeros. Can you explain that just a little bit better, maybe?
Well, they took the zeros off mainly so they could spend the money inside country. You know, it's like when taking $100 million and buying a loaf of bread, you know. So they took the zeros off of the bills to make it more spendable in the country and make it more pliable. But the zeros are there and they show up. So it's a matter of if they're technically they're not supposed to take any zeros away from anything when they come to this exchange. So they're going to have to put it on a sliding scale. The older money, the ones before 1918, are more at their face value. Like if it's $100,000, it's $100,000. If it's $2, it's $2. It's when it goes above 1918 that what they get into the VES that everything changes. And so they're going to have a dollar amount for what the VES is. And so from 1918 up to 2021, that's all VES. And while a 10 digital bill could be worth 1 quintillion, they're not going to give you 1 quintillion. So we're trying to see what it's going to be actually, and they haven't determined that yet.
Okay. Next up, Jay Rocks and Dan will be on deck. Jay Rocks and Dan.
Thank you, and blessings to you all, and appreciate your time to educate the public here. It's very awesome. My question is kind of two, but I'll do it in one. Everybody's kind of concerned about when they go to the resumption to have serial numbers for their ZIM. Is that still true? Do they have to have serial numbers and proof of purchase of ZIM and their other currencies? And is the Pango one of them that you have to have the serial numbers for as well?
All ZIMs have serial numbers. Every one of them. And $100 million, $50 million, $20 million, $10 million, you know, they all have serial numbers. And when you go in, you're going to take those with you and you're going to hand them to the people across the desk from you, and they're going to count them. And if you have a ZIM that does not have a serial number, and there are people that have bought ZIMs that don't have serial numbers, they may have a 99999. That's not the serial number. That is not going to be redeemed under any circumstances, and you may find yourself going out in handcuffs. So in the other currency, most people have lost their receipts, so the receipts aren't required anymore. You take them in there, from big to small or small to big, whichever way you want to do it, of all your currencies. You hand them to them, they will run them right there through the De La Rue machine to authenticate them. And then it's a matter of them telling you where your money's going to go and how much you've got, you know, because they're going to know. And your currencies have already, if you bought a currency, every licensed currency dealer has to send your name and what you bought, your serial numbers and everything, off to the U.S. Treasury. They have a record.
That leads into my other part of the question. If that's the case, do they not already have this logged? I mean, I bought mine off of eBay like a lot of people probably did. I think they're legit. I hope none of them are fake. I did the blacklight thing. But don't they already have us logged then at that point in time?
Yes.
Our name, everything?
They do. They've run criminal checks on everybody that's going in. There's a lot. You don't have anything to worry about, you know.
I'm not worried about none of it. I was just kind of curious. I always figured they already had all of our information, especially if our bank accounts are already switched over to QFS anyway.
There, you know, nobody has anything to be afraid of. Like I said, they don't have no people that lose receipts. You misplace them. And so, but if you have the currency in your hand, you own it.
Well, if somebody that was the biggest thing that they basically decided was
that the receipts were not necessary because they were the hardest to keep up with, and as long as you had the currency, that was all that you needed.
That's it. It's all you need. If it's bad currency, when they run it through the data room machine, it'll kick it out, and that currency will not be exchanged. And you know, so you'll know the data room machine will kick it out real quick. And so, and if you tell them you bought it on eBay, eBay's really ferocious about counterfeit money. But if you know somebody that's got a data room machine, I have one here at my house, and I run all my currency through it. And so, and so far, all my currency is good. And I've bought some of it out of China, and I've bought some of it out of off of eBay. So, but generally, the licensed dealers that trade on eBay, they're not about to sell you bad paper. Okay, and yeah, you can hold it up to the light, and you can see where the what markings are in there, and they even tell you how to do it, so right, to verify the money.
But nobody's in trouble. I don't want to create no fear. No. Nobody's in trouble if they accidentally bought something by condom or something. Okay.
No.
That's the main thing.
No.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. You guys are great. Yeah. I appreciate the good information. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm going to have to be going here pretty soon.
Okay, Dan. Do you want to take a couple more?
Yeah, we can take a couple more. And then we'll do another one in a day or so. I'd do another one in a day or two. And then if Nick or whatever wants to come back, or I can just send it to him, we can do more. So.
All righty. Dan is already unmuted. And then I'm going to unmute Anon Other. We'll be next.
How you doing this evening, gentlemen? I appreciate this. My question is this. I'm over 60. I have three currencies. And if I go into the redemption center and I ask for the contract rate, is that going to be involving the humanitarian projects?
No. There's only three currencies right now that are even under a contract rate. And that's the dong and the dinar and I forget the other one. So, but basically it is the dinar and the dong that are going to be contract rates. And those have nothing. Oh, it was the Zim. They were going to do the Zim under a contract rate and they changed their mind. So, no, it doesn't affect it at all.
Okay. The last part of that is being over 60. I did not want to get involved in humanitarian projects. So the Zim, how would that work out for me?
Well, you get all your money. You're over 60.
So that would mean would it be one-to-one or would it be?
I don't have any idea. You would actually be getting what is called a default rate. Okay.
And they haven't decided that out, not publicly.
No, they don't. They don't know if it's going to be 30 million or 100 million. Let's look at it that way. So
you'll know when you get there.
Yeah. And that's what I tell everybody is nobody knows until you get there, period.
Understood. And, thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Okay. And then other.
Good evening, gentlemen. Quick question on a moment ago, you mentioned, those who have purchased currency, they've done background checks on them. They know who they are, et cetera, correct?
Yeah. What they did was, okay, they've had Interpol. They've had Interpol is the one that basically does the background checks. And there's only certain things that they can check. And anybody that is ever been involved in a robbery that's used a gun, anybody that's a child molester, anybody that is any kind of a molester at all, and people that are what they call crimes of moral interpretude. Right. So those people will not be allowed to exchange or redeem. Okay. Now, if somebody, let's look at it this way, if somebody in their younger days or middle-aged days committed a crime, they have done their time, and they are off of probation, parole, or whatever, then they can go in and exchange, so long as it's not any of that matter.
Okay. My question was actually going towards somebody who hasn't purchased currency but has it, i.e. someone bought them currency, then the Alliance or the Federation or the RV personnel are not tracking that individual as background checks or anything like that. Will that pose an issue?
Well, they believe me, when their name pops up, they'll have a check done, but it can only be a basic check. And that basic check would be if there's not any wants, if there's no hits, wants, warrants or anything like that, then they'll be fine. They can't go into any more than that.
So you mean when their name pops up from the notification number, from the 800 number?
Yeah, when they go in, when they go in, they're going. So you know, they're only, because there could be somebody that maybe did something, and just like these people that you're seeing turned loose on TV now, they get arrested and they go let go. They won't be able to go.
Right.
Okay. Right. So there will be checks done. And there may, and they'll run a very simple check anyway, and it's basically to see if there's any wants, you know, that's if there's any warrants out for their arrest. And okay. If there is, they won't go.
Excellent. I was just curious about that, because someone who has not been tracked as having any currency, they don't even know they exist at the moment as even knowledgeable on it, but yet they're going to show up with currency. And I wanted to make sure that wasn't going to be an issue. So thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Kelly, let's do one more.
Okay. Let's go with Jean Oros. Jean, you're unmuted. Jean. Okay, we're gonna hello. Yes, Jean, go ahead.
Okay, I don't know. I missed the first half hour, so I know he mentioned today that don't get any XRP on uphold. So where do you get the XRP now?
No, you can actually purchase it on uphold, but after you purchase it on there, then move it into either a hot wallet or a cold wallet, like either Zoom or like Exodus, or you can get a cold wallet like the Nano S, which is like a USB that you can actually do it, because it actually just transfers it into the XRP ledger. And then you actually hold ownership of it, and Uphold does not have custody of it. Uphold is actually, they're going to be going into class action lawsuits, and that money's those funds are probably going to get frozen. They're not going to be lost, but they're going to get frozen.
There's a 65-day hold on moving it though.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you pay, there's two different ways you can pay. If you pay with a debit card, which I do, you can move it right away. If you're going to do a bank transfer, then no, I wouldn't suggest it, because it's going to be held up, like Tim said, for 60 days or so.
can go on Lobster and buy XRP through the fchain.io Stellar address, though.
Or there's also Kraken is another place to get it. And then you can, once you buy it from Kraken, it's just an exchange. So you have to move it to one of the safe wallets that Kyle has videos there in his page. So I think that is it, Kyle.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Nick, I appreciate you coming. Yes. So we recorded it.
Okay. Will you give me a copy?
Absolutely. I'll send you a copy over as soon as it downloads into my folder. I'll send it over to you. I really appreciate you coming over. Thank you for all of your information, your wealth of information and knowledge on all that you've done for the RV for all these years. Just thank you for that. And all right. I'll have you back in anytime you want to come back, sir.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks. I enjoyed my time here. Thanks, guys. Talk with you later.
I appreciate it. All right, guys. Thank you for all showing up tonight. I appreciate it. I will get with Nick and send that over to him. He'll put it out on his networks, and then also I will schedule probably another chat for either tomorrow or Monday. Just watch my channel. I will put it out there and make sure that everybody knows about it. And it's going to be more just questions and answers. The reason that it was less question and answer tonight was just because we had Nick on as somebody that was working directly with the RV and with the Dinar people and the currency people for many, many years. So I just want to thank him for everything he's done with that. And thank you all for showing up tonight. You all be blessed. Remember, if you've got XRP on Uphold, move it as quickly as possible onto either one of the sites that we just talked about, and those are on my page. Easy. There's videos on how to do it step by step. If you need some help, DM Kelly, the Raise a Warrior Princess, and she can help you, or direct you over to QSI chat and they can help you as well. So there's a wealth of information. So don't feel like you're alone in this, because you're not. We're here to help you. Kelly, thank you so much. Tim, thank you very much as well. I appreciate you guys more than you know. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you, Kyle. And thank you, Tim.
Welcome, everyone. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.